If I had my phone, you would have seen me bring out the camera. I speak to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
One of the commentaries that I read this past week, it pointed me to an interesting TED Talk. Do y'all know what TED Talks are? TED Talks, TED is a nonprofit organization. It's devoted to spreading ideas. They're short, powerful talks that are about almost anything, and they're usually quite interesting. I like to listen to TED Talks. You can find them on the internet. Well, the particular TED Talk that was suggested was given by, and I hope I say her name properly, Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, an accomplished writer from Nigeria. Her talk was The Power of Stories and the Danger of a Single Story. Adichie grew up in Nigeria on a university campus where her father was a professor. Being middle class, her family, like many others, had domestic help that came from nearby villages. She tells about a young boy from a village who came to work for her family. Adichie was probably about 8 years old at the time. And she remembers her mother explaining to her that the young boy and his family lived in poverty. And she remembers how her mother would send food and clothing with the young boy. She recalled how she felt pity for the boy, whom she thought of only as the poor boy. Until the day that her mother took her to visit his home in the nearby village. Adichie was shocked when the boy's mother showed her a beautiful basket that one of his brothers had woven. Shocked because, as she described, her understanding of the poor boy and his family was, as she described it, a single story. They were poor. And to Adichie, that was their only story. She shared that her shock was because she never expected them to be able to actually make something, much less something of beauty and value. She didn't think that they could do anything but be poor. Around this same age, she began to write stories. From a very young age, she had become an avid reader. Most of what she read were children's books by English and American writers. And so, with some humor, she described how the first stories that she wrote contained characters who were exactly like the ones that she had been reading. All of her characters, as she put it, were white people with blue eyes. They played in the snow, they ate apples, and they talked about the weather and how nice it was that the sun had come out. Now, Adichie lived in Nigeria, where there was no snow, and the people didn't eat apples, but they ate mangoes. And they never talked about the weather. Adichie's message in her TED Talk is about how impressionable and vulnerable we are in the face of a story. As a young girl, she had not been reading stories about Nigerian people. And so she didn't realize that people like herself, girls with the skin of the color of chocolate, and with kinky hair that could not form ponytails could even exist in the world of literature. Even her imagination had been limited by the singleness of the stories that she had been reading. And she has now become a well-respected writer of Nigerian novels. Adichie also tells about coming to America to attend college and being met by a roommate who wanted to know how she learned English so well. Well, you see, English is Nigeria's official language. Her roommate also asked Adichie to play some of her tribal music and was surprised when Adichie played a Mariah Carey CD. Adichie had in her mind a single story about the poor boy. Her roommate had a single story about Adichie. And as Adichie suggests, there is danger in single stories. But single stories are much simpler. And so is life if others have a single story. Adichie says that to engage a person properly, we need to engage all the stories that have made that person who they are. That's what Jesus does with the woman at the well. She's not just a woman, but she's a Samaritan woman. She's a woman who has lived a lifetime with many husbands. Now think about it. What do we usually do with this story? We reduce her down to one single story. She's a sinner. But Jesus recognizes that this is a woman with many stories. And she is a person who is thirsting to be seen. Seen for more than how her situation in life is defining her. And Jesus offers her living water. Living water that will quench her thirst so that she will never be thirsty again. In other words, Jesus is offering her a relationship that will recognize the wholeness of her being. He is offering her life that is sanctified. Remember the definition of sanctified that we have been working with this Lent? To be sanctified is to be in a state of proper functioning. And I'm going to add now to that definition, wholeness. Wholeness. Jesus tells the woman that the time has come for her not to be limited or called by one dimensional descriptions because of her life's condition. She is not a single story, but a complex individual with a life full of stories. Some of which have been difficult, and many of which have been singularly defining her. He offers her living water that will quench her thirst, which is for her and for many people and for us, a thirst to be known fully and not singularly. This thirst, when quenched, leads us into living a sanctified life, a life of purpose and wholeness. So here's the so what for us. What does this mean for us? If Jesus is offering living water, we need to drink. My husband Max tells me a story of his childhood when he was camping with his cousins in Arizona. They had set out early in the morning with full water bottles. But being Florida boys, used to humidity, it didn't take long for their water bottles to be empty. And as they walked in the hot Arizona sun, they became very thirsty, dangerously thirsty, to the point of sickness when they finally made it back to their campsite. The point of the story to Max is that during most of their walk, which was on a trail, this trail was alongside a stream of crystal clear flowing water. It was available to them the whole time. But to this day, Max still asks himself, why didn't we drink? Were they ignorant of the stream? Did they not realize that it was there for them? Perhaps they were afraid of it. Did they worry that the water wasn't good for them? Impure, perhaps? He doesn't remember why they didn't drink, nor why they allowed themselves to become so high dehydrated that they actually got sick. But he does remember that the stream was there the whole time. If Jesus is offering us living water, we need to drink. So how? Well, first, we need to slow down. We need to step away from our to-do lists and from our calendars and pay a visit to the well. Sit down and simply be. Be with God. Take in the moment and allow God's presence to be with you. I love to wake up before the sun rises. And after I let the dogs out, I sit down on my back porch, sipping my coffee. It is so still and it's so quiet. Until the sun begins to rise and the world begins to wake up. And as the world is waking up, there's a chorus of the multitude of birds' voices and critter sounds that are announcing the new day. I can even hear the increase of the traffic sound that I normally would think is an annoyance. But I'm imagining the different people that have awakened that day, and they're beginning their day's journey. Sometimes as I'm sitting there, I might even offer some prayerful thoughts. But mostly, I just sit there in the holy presence of the new day that is being created. And then secondly, we need to be intentional about recognizing when we might be seeing others in the context of a single story. And perhaps even by recognizing when we might see ourselves only in the context of a single story. You are not defined by your current success nor your current trial. One of the most empowering things that I have heard is from a cancer patient who said that she was not defined by the cancer. And then finally, may I offer you a challenge? This week, with at least one person, look beyond any immediate single story that you might see. Whether it's the cashier at the gas station or the tech support person on the other end of the line, ask a question that is beyond their single purpose in that moment. And then see what happens. I still remember the happy energy that I felt walking out of a gas station up on Hendricks after the man behind the counter stopped what he was doing and asked me if he could tell me a joke. I was a little startled. It was not what I was expecting. But I said yes. And he told me this really, really funny, corny joke. And I still remember how I chuckled as I pulled out of the gas station and drove down the street. The gospel good news about the living waters that Jesus offers is that when we share the joy of the gospel with others, we too are drinking it in. That's the amazing single truth of God's story. Jesus offers a drink of living waters, and it is flowing right beside us, a crystal clear river of sanctified life. If Jesus is offering it, we need to drink it in. Amen.